Warning.
The following people's voices are impersonated to be better than the real thing. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is the 14th of May, 2013. Welcome to the WrestlingGame.com's podcast. I am the Nemesis, Chris Salkol. Joining me, as always, is the founder of Wrestling with Subtitles and Server 3 manager and all-round resident good guy, Mr. Kyrax, Max Zaleski. Max, how's things been, mate?
Pretty good. Just working around this week. How about you?
Not much. I feel like playing a drinking game after watching Raw. And you gotta take a drink every time they say the words WWE app.
49 times they said it in the 2.5 hours that I was watching.
49. It was more like 80,000. It was disgustingly bad. The WWE app is being pushed more than any minor championship right now.
They said WWE app more than they've given us divas in the past month.
Oh, God.
And that is ridiculous.
That's right. But, oh, with that being said, I'd like to thank everyone for downloading the second installment of the WrestlingGame.com's podcast. Would like to send a shout out to anyone who downloaded it, but I must actually say a big, big, big giant shout out to my girlfriend for letting me do this because it's our anniversary today.
Woo!
Yep. So, you guys better appreciate this. I'm giving up my time with my girlfriend there on our anniversary to do this. You all better appreciate this.
But you were watching AJ's fantastic ass, so it's kind of worth it.
Oh, well, obviously it was worth it, but AJ isn't being pushed as much as the WWE app. If they pushed AJ's ass more than the WWE app, oh, God, I would love AJ's ass.
I do love AJ's ass, but Let's get down to some Raw talk.
Okay, on to Raw. We opened up with possibly the greatest worst thing of all time. Chris Jericho versus Fandango in the dance-off.
It went nowhere. It went nowhere.
And
you have Jericho, who is a Dancing with the Stars contestant, and Fandango being Fandango with Summer Rae, and it went nowhere. You could go back to last week's episode and listen to Chris, and he said exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah,
somebody's going to dance. They're going to end. And then they're going to get attacked.
And pretty much, it was almost that of that happening. It was 20 minutes. We can sum up this 20 minutes in 60 seconds, or hopefully only 4 sentences, at least I could. Fandango says that Tulsa doesn't respect him as an artist and knows that he will beat Chris Jericho in this dance-off. Jericho then says, Raw is Jericho. And he has had some impressive victories, but none other than when he beat 4 other superstars to win musical chairs.
We're talking about the same guy who was the first WWE Undisputed Champion, correct?
Correct. And obviously, there's no doubt he's going to win Sunday at Extreme Rules. And then Fandango and Summer Rae dance. Summer Rae falls down. Jericho
goes to check on
Summer.
Is there a stipulation for that match yet?
Sorry?
There's not a stipulation for that match. Okay.
At this rate, no. Tuxedo match would be good. Actually, no, I said it'd be shit last week, so I still stand by that.
I thought they might do, like, a ballroom brawl.
Yeah. I do actually just want to rewind back here just quickly to the Jericho musical chairs bit. I think I can remember the four people in that musical chairs skit. No! It was five! There were five people in that musical chairs skit, and I remember the five.
It was Lawler.
Six, then.
Yeah, it was Lawler, Flair,
Coach.
Keebler.
Who?
Who else? Keebler, Stacey Keebler.
Yes, yeah, Stacey. Yeah, hang on. Yeah, Lawler. Obviously Jericho. Coach, Stacey Keebler.
Oh, yep.
Tomko. And Tajiri.
And
Flair, yes.
That.
There were seven people in that. There were seven people in it. And I know this because Tajiri was eliminated first, spat in
Coach.
Coach's face after Coach laughed at him. Coach couldn't sit down. Flair then, you know, was behind Stacey Keebler and started strutting his stuff. Then when the music turned off, they sat down on the seat and Flair pushed Stacey Keebler off the seat. Stacey was gone. Flair started strutting too much. Music stopped, and because he was strutting too much, he couldn't sit down and he was out. And then King got eliminated. And then it was down to just Tomko and Jericho, and there was only one chair, so when Tomko went to sit down, Jericho pulled the chair out from under him, shoved it in Tomko's gut, and then sat down. And that means Jericho got a Intercontinental title shot that night.
That is a weird bit of wrestling trivia you got there, Chris.
Tell me, my mind is so screwed up. It's like, I can't remember, you know, relatives' birthdays.
But you can remember that one time that Tomko almost won an Intercontinental Championship match.
No, I'm glad it was Jericho. Imagine there's so much crap of wrestling knowledge that I've got. I might actually post up there's a picture that I've got on my phone. It's of my WWE and TNA and Ring of Honor and ECW, old school ECW DVDs as well, just plastered on my wall. I've just got this big bookcase. It's four shelves long, and there's one and a half shelves full of wrestling DVDs.
We've talked too much about Tomko.
Yeah, just a little too much.
So after the abysmal Fandango versus Chris Jericho segment, they moved quite right along into
Ryback versus Mr. Complainer.
Right.
Zack Ryder.
Zack, I don't have an entrance Ryder.
Yep, he got the jobber entrance today. And
it'll be Zack Ryder entrance. Because that's what he is.
Yeah,
job.
I'm going to put $10 Ryder's gone from the company by the end of the year.
No, he makes too much money in merch. Way too much money.
Yeah, that's why.
They'd have to... It'd be a stupid move for them to get rid of Ryder. They might put him in like a... They might have him do something with that All Divas thing, like... Have him be like a love interest or something, but I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't see him going anywhere.
Love interest of Lord Tensai.
Yeah, that's gross.
Hey.
Speaking of Tensai.
Oh, God, this goddamn match. Primetime Players versus Tons of Funk.
Millions of dollars.
I'm gonna fast forward to the finish. this was the finish. Brodus Clay goes to pick up, who did he pick up? Darren Young. Darren Young then hits Brodus Clay with his comb. His comb that he uses to tease his hair. Clay sells this, stumbles backwards, and falls into Titus O'Neil, who rolls him up for the pinfall. Brodus Clay sold a comb shot and got pinned by the primetime players. Holy shit.
Yeah, you can't get much lower on the food chain. It's sad where I love Tons of Funk, but they need to do something with them and fast, because losing to a comb shot, come on now.
Oh man, but at least the primetime players got, you know, moving up. That's probably the only thing we've got here. But it, you're right in saying it does say the pecking order.
Yeah, I just hope that Pancake Patterson makes a return, because Pancake Patterson was gold.
Oh yeah.
Him on commentary, man. They should just have him on commentary all day, every day.
Just saying that, we'll get to the commentary a bit later, but him and Punk on commentary, since Punk's injured, for God's sake.
I actually kind of like Punk not being on Raw. Refreshing.
It is refreshing, but at the same point, I'm a giant Punk mark. Like, we're both Ziggler marks, but I'm a Punk mark as well, so it is disheartening not having that change, but when he comes back, there's going to be a shake-up.
Yeah, but I'm kind of letting it slide. A lot of people are saying SummerSlam, yeah. So I'm okay with SummerSlam.
I'm okay with Survivor Series, actually. I'm okay that he takes much time off as he needs.
Yeah, I'd rather him come back 100% and be good for like 2 or 3 years than come back earlier and be good for like a year and take another 3 or 4 months off.
Yep. Okay. Teddy Long comes out.
Holla.
I never give Teddy Long's dressmaker any credit. He's tailor. Teddy Long's suit. He's 60 what now? He's still a pimp.
Yeah, he's 62 and he's dressing like he's from SoCal, all in red because he's a blood. That's exactly what he is.
He comes out in this pimping suit. So
it's pretty good.
Zeb and Swagger come out, and Zeb says if Ziggler can't defend the title, he should be stripped of it. It should be awarded to Swagger. And then AJ... hang on. What does AJ say?
I don't know, but I'm going to cut you off. I'd like to ask you why Ziggler cannot be in the match.
Oh,
and
yes.
I will gladly tell you.
Please.
I will gladly tell you.
So Max, why is Ziggler not in the World Heavyweight Championship match?
Because Swagger f***ed up. Ugh. Tuesday, at the SmackDown tapings, Ziggler goes down to grab the ladder that's in the middle of the ring, and Swagger boots him in the head. Boots him so hard in the head, probably just as hard as Kofi Kingston hit Miz a year and a half ago, where you could see his face, you know, do the whole bleh, that entire thing. So, Ziggler is out with a concussion, but not only a concussion, he's out with retrograde amnesia. He didn't remember getting hit, he didn't remember going to SmackDown, he didn't remember going home. So, he will not be at Extreme Rules because of that concussion. So, now, it is going to be it's going to be Swagger versus Alberto Del Rio in an I Quit match for the number one contendership for the World Heavyweight Championship at a later date.
Run away.
That match, I didn't like it at WrestleMania. It's not going to be a good match now.
Oh, God. As much as I like Alberto Del Rio, I said this on the Wrestling Game Facebook before, turn him heel. Turn Ziggler face. This is what you need. If Swagger wins, Swagger versus Ziggler at, what is it, Payback, whatever the fuck the next one is.
Payback.
Ziggler's face. Guarantee it. Del Rio wins.
I hope so.
If Del Rio wins, Swagger's back to mid-card for the next 3 years.
Or fired.
Both. Back to mid-card for 3 years, then fired.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good in-ring talent, but he has the charisma of a school bus fire.
I'm going to use that later today. That was cool.
I usually reserve that one for Bo Dallas, but we're not even talking NXT. So.
Oh, man. Then anyway, the WWE Universe was going to choose between Swagger and Del Rio to face Big E later in the night.
And he changed Big E's music.
And no one cared. And no one cared.
And no one
cared. Yep.
He came out to a "And the Crowd Goes Mild."
A standing cremation.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with... Nobody pops for Swagger. Nobody pops for Langston. Del Rio only gets a pop because Ricardo is with him, and Ricardo is over his head. It is hard. I don't know what the WWE is doing. Well, I know what the WWE is doing wrong. Whoa. But I'd like for them to focus on a couple of more areas, I guess. And speaking about areas that need to be covered, Antonio Cesaro losing to Randy Orton again.
Just before you get onto that, you missed Damian Sandow versus Kofi Kingston, and sorry about that, everyone. I had my hard drive just decided to update itself. My external hard drive decided to update itself, so I apologize for the noises before. Damian Sandow versus Kofi Kingston. Long story short, Sandow is getting buried.
Buried. But then again, I mean, Kofi Kingston wins the U.S. title from Cesaro a couple weeks ago, and then he's won every single match that he's in. Cesaro held the belt for 6 months, for the last 3 months of his reign, or longer than 6 months, but for the last 3 months of his reign, he couldn't win he couldn't get out of a wet paper bag. So I don't know. I think it's reverse racism.
Yeah.
Fight the power.
Anyway, on to what you were saying. Orton Cesaro. Here is my thing. As soon as I started watching this, straight away through my head, well, when's Big Show coming out? And I was waiting.
They're having another match.
I was waiting.
Orton and Big Show are having another match. I don't understand.
Okay. Here's the relationship from this. I am hoping, actually, no, between Randy Orton and Big Show, I cannot pray for Randy Orton to win. I cannot pray for Big Show to win. I am going to pray that there is a fire and the building collapses.
They are, I don't know, like, now that Sheamus, it's those four guys, Henry, Sheamus, Orton, and Show.
Yeah.
We're all kind of, like, mixed together on SmackDown, like, in the past 2 years, and they just cycled through people with belts or no belts, or I'm going to kill you because blah, 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 that's what I do. And that's that. Like, there is no storyline with Randy Orton and Big Show other than Big Show screwed everybody at WrestleMania.
Which he had every bleeding right to do so, I guess. The main thing what happens here is Randy Orton is at the point, the absolute pinnacle. It's kind of what I said last week. He's at the boring stage. He's at the what the hell am I doing for this for stage. This week was even a massive step on top of that, because this was booking from 1993. This is taking a mid-card geek, putting him against the top guy, and giving him a Buff Bagwell face. A Buff Bagwell job. You know? Just,
yeah.
There was only... Well...
I don't remember seeing Cesaro get a whole bunch of offense, and that's a problem.
Yeah, there was I remember a headbutt, stomps, an uppercut, a side headlock.
RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then the 3 count. I don't understand. I could give 2 shits about Randy Orton. I could give 2 shits about Big Show. So that match does. I don't care.
Pray for a fire.
Yeah, Cesaro should be in that spot right now.
As a Madam Snapshot special, dying a fire.
Yeah, that leads us to the match of the night, though.
Oh God, this match was amazing, and you're not going to believe the two names we're going to read out. The Miz versus Heath Slater.
Yeah. I was shocked. I didn't want to see Miz back. I don't really like the Miz. He's boring. But Heath Slater, I mean, come on. He's the one-man band. But now he's in the three-man band. So now it's even better. There's three times the awesomeness.
This was... unreal. Like, as these guys walked out, these guys were in the ring, and I'm like, okay, let's count backwards from 50 and see who wins.
Yeah, and they gave them a lot of time. Like, shocking.
It was 5-6 minutes.
It was a solid TV match. So I'm hoping that, you know, the three-man band, 3MB, they need to do something with them, because Drew McIntyre is too talented not to do anything with them.
And I guess the best part of the night is when Miz was, I think Miz was stumbling. I think Miz did the running clothesline in the corner, and then afterwards Miz gets back in, and I think Slater counters it and goes up to the top rope. And he tries, of all things, a double axe handle.
Yeah.
I was marking out so hard for the double axe handle.
It's old school. I mean, and for you TWG players, you all know when you first start out, the double axe handle is your best friend.
It is the only stunned move you will ever have until about level 6.
Yeah, so... It was a good match, and then that easily rolled into another very, very good match, which was Team Hell No and John Cena versus The Shield.
And an elimination match.
This was
surprising, but okay. Do you want to tell the people the eliminations, and then I'll tell you why I didn't like this match?
Yes. Daniel Bryan was eliminated by Dean Ambrose with his finisher. I don't think they have a name for it yet, but it's a front face lock driver, much like a snapmare driver. And then Kane, was it Kane first?
Yeah, it was Kane. It was Kane first.
Okay. Kane first went crazy and hit the three members of the Shield with the top of the announcer's table. So he got eliminated. And then, like I said before, Daniel Bryan got eliminated by Ambrose. And then all hell broke loose because Cena went into Super Cena, and he FU'd, that's not what it's called anymore. No. Gave the attitude adjustment to Rollins first.
I believe it was Rollins first.
So he gives the AA to Rollins, and gets, of course, the quick three count. There's a counter from Ambrose or Reigns, I don't remember. And so another member of the Shield, I don't remember if it was Reigns. Reigns gets the AA, gets pinned, and then they go into a, Dean Ambrose versus John Cena, one-on-one, and then Cena gets on the STF.
Yeah, the
STF. And while Ambrose is there almost tapping, the Shield attacks him and gives John Cena the win.
Well, gives John Cena a triple powerbomb for the win. Then, afterwards, obviously, Ryback comes out and does pretty much nothing apart from breaking Cena's ankle with a steel chair.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm pretty done with Raw. It was hard to watch. Like, that match was really good, and then everything else past it was kind of a blur.
Because Ryback rules.
Ryback rules!
Oh. But nonetheless, this will
I think we can probably skip the rest of Raw. There wasn't too much else going on. They didn't announce any other matches other than we'll recap the entire Extreme Rules card a little bit later. But I think we can go into news because man, the Triple H Brock Lesnar segment wasn't any good, and then they had a Divas match between AJ and Natty, but that didn't do anything except give fodder to the Bellas.
But apart from Natty and AJ, you actually missed Big E and Swagger.
Oh, I did miss that,
and
because it was forgettable.
It's, by the way, I apologize to everyone at home if you can hear, that noise. Nextdoor has decided to use a power stander. It's really annoying, so I apologize if you can hear it at home. I can't go next door. Sorry.
It gives a little bit of, personality to the podcast.
Yeah, just shows you exactly where I am and why I'm really, really glad I'm moving in 10 days.
He's sleeping with a construction worker.
F*** you. Swagger wins by count out. The match was shit. I'm sorry. I hate the match. Okay.
That's why I suggested we just skip to the news.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, yeah. Natty and AJ was pretty... Yeah, and... okay. Just something on the Triple H Lesnar segment. How it ended. Triple H was standing on top of the cage as Lesnar and Heyman walked back up the ramp. Why the f*** do we need to see the match now?
Because Lesnar's gonna win.
Oh, duh, but... with that being said... on the Extreme Rules card, let's just look at the Extreme Rules card as it is happening now. Team Hell No versus Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns in a Texas Tag Team Tornado match for the WWE Tag Team titles.
Yeehaw!
Fantastic stuff. United States Championship match of Kofi Kingston versus Dean Ambrose.
Shield.
A current singles match between Chris Jericho and Fandango. A pre-show match which is guaranteed that you are going to be watching this match so you can buy tickets or buy the pay-per-view to go and watch the rest of Extreme Rules. The pre-show match is The Miz versus Cody Rhodes.
And they'll probably mention the app several times.
Yeah, we're gonna have. In fact, you know what? I reckon for Extreme Rules, if I've actually got next Monday off, I'm gonna watch it with you, and I'm gonna play a drinking game. Every single time they say the words WWE app, we have to take a drink. I want to see if one of us dies before the end of the night.
Sounds good to me.
I'll be in the freaking hospital with alcohol poisoning before the end of the United States title match. I guarantee it. We've also got Cena and Ryback for the WWE title
in a last man standing match.
But here's the thing: Ryback has to win. They are pushing him to the absolute moon, and he has to win. I guarantee you he won't, but he has to win.
I think he wins.
Yeah, he's got to win. He's not that WWE Championship material right now, but if he wins, really don't want to see him take on Orton or Sheamus, but they will not make Cena a transitional champion.
No, Ryback is not WWE champion material, but if he loses at Extreme Rules, he'll never be.
Oh God, exactly that. And also we have Swagger versus Del Rio in a we don't give a shit match.
Basically, and there's also a strap match from Mark Henry versus Sheamus.
Oh God.
An Extreme Rules match between Randy Orton and Big Show, and the big match that will probably end the show will be Brock Lesnar versus Triple H in a steel cage match.
I'm actually kind of upset there's no Roy Borra on the card.
Yeah, I mean, Cesaro gets shafted at WrestleMania. Roy Borra will get shafted here. He'll drop the belt next weekend or next Monday, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, they'll have to have an IC title match the Monday after Extreme Rules.
Yep.
May 20.
Yeah. Talking about recent events, there's been a couple of new signings for the WWE.
Oh yeah, I'm listening.
One confirmed is powerlifter Adam Scher. He's a big, huge 6'7", 375-pound musclehead. He does the Arnold Classic every year, and he recently signed a WWE contract.
Oh, yeah?
So he'll probably be reporting to Florida in the near future.
That's not...
As well...
Yep.
As well as for you indie fans, there are four big names going around for WWE's new state-of-the-art training facilities in Florida. So indie stars like Mike Bennett, Samurai Del Sol, and Sammy Callahan are all rumored to be heading down over to Florida pretty soon, as well as California-based wrestler Sean Ricker. Mike Bennett, as you guys may know, is engaged to former WWE diva Maria. So anything to get her ass back on WWE television is definitely a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Apart from that as well, Sami Callihan, I don't think so. Have you seen how much he looks like a biker?
Yeah, but he's the one that's been targeted for about 3 or 4 months now.
Yeah. Mike Bennett, I can understand. Sami Callihan, I can't. But should still be good.
Yeah.
My bit of news for this week is the release date for WWE 2K14, and everyone is really not good. They think that WWE 2K14 is it's just gonna be crap, you know.
Yeah, I mean it's made by the same people, so I don't see any improvement for this for this year at least.
Even if then for the fact, it's gonna be released on October 19. Now, it'll be released
29th.
29th of October. I guess it's pretty much that. See, I haven't played 2013 yet. I have it sitting over there on my table. I have not touched it. I bought it about 2.5 months ago, and I haven't touched it. 2K14 is probably one that I will buy and instantly play. But I'm not sure if I'll, you know, actually, you know, keep continually playing it. But 2K13, I really want to play, I just haven't had time to. So, there's going to be something good about 2K14 for me to want to, you know, just go out and get it. And if it's somewhat better than 2K13, I'll just go out and instantly buy it.
Yeah.
With that being said, it's probably about $110 for a new game. You know, you guys got it lucky over there, by the way, for all you folks in America and England. You guys got it lucky. We have to pay $110 a game, brand new, over here for the PS3 or Xbox 360. Like, you guys get it easy. But, apart from that, we talked a bit last week about the WWE's YouTube subscription offer. This is kind of like an update from last week. WWE has turned down the YouTube subscription offer. They've actually turned it down, but TNA has snapped it up.
$5.99 a month, I believe.
$5.99 a month?
That's what I'm seeing.
Okay. I thought it was $4.99 or $3.99 a month. $5.99 though, still not good. But I can see why they turned it down. I can actually see why they turned it down, but at the same point, I guess I can't see, you know, immediately why they should have turned it down. I guess they should have, you know, WWE and YouTube had that thing all through 2011 of how they, you know, they had that, I'm trying to think of the name here. They had that coalition, I guess.
Partnership and
yes,
everything.
Yes, the partnership. They put everything on there. And I don't think WWE wanted to capitalize on that. And I think it was a good
idea. Yeah, I think they wanted to basically just have it as like a free area for their fans to go and watch all of their stupid little web shows that they started doing.
Yeah. And that's pretty much what it was with that as well. And I'm kind of glad that they haven't done it. At the same point, I'm glad that they haven't done it, but I kind of wish they did as well. If that makes sense, because as you were saying last week, the WWE Network is a flop. It's gone. It's dead. It's buried. They needed to do something to at least justify it, and they didn't get that done.
Yeah, it's the only way that I'd pay $5.99 a month for WWE is if they decided that they were going to show a live stream of like SmackDown and Raw. So I could watch it on like a clear stream rather than having to watch it on illegal streams.
yeah, exactly that, and that's another reason why I do that as well.
Yeah,
but you can't help it though, anyway. So it's okay.
I
that's pretty much all my news for this week. I didn't really have much.
Yeah, I think we can shift it over to a little bit of a TWG talk.
Yep. The first thing as well, we asked. Let's take a quick commercial first before we get into this. We need to plug some stuff before we
sounds good
launch into the list. So we'll see you folks in about 2 minutes.
Hey kids, Guy Daigoji here to tell you about the biggest and best federation on server number one. Caged Evolution Wrestling. It's so great, it needs 3 shows. CW Ascension is Fridays at 2300, the main show is on Saturdays at 2230, and the Proving Grounds, where my show's at, is on Sundays at 2230. That's right, you can see me, and I punch fireballs! Yeah!
I don't know if I chose to wrestle or wrestling chose me. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is a part of me. This is something that I can't get out of my head. This is when I go to bed at night. This is what I think about. When you step into this ring, when you step into an impact ring, you got to love what you do. We are more than just entertainment. We are the best at what we do, and what we do is wrestle. Impact Wrestling, where wrestling matters again.
Enter the Triple Threat.
Welcome back here, ladies and gentlemen. That's actually at the start of there, at the start of that one, actually says, enter the triple threat. So let's go our triple threat for this week. Let's go a TWG Facebook topic, a TWG forum topic, and a, just another random thing that we kind of want to suggest about. But, I don't know. Maybe we should just call it the triple threat, how it's got the TWG fans and us two. That's like a triple threat, I guess.
Well, I'm a triple threat guy, Chris, so...
I'm not going to say that you just said you like threesomes, but never mind. okay, just saying as well, we launched on the TWG Facebook page this morning the worst things that WWE has done in the last 10 years. This is, this actually turned into something. I didn't think we'd much of a thing on this. Much of a reply on this. But it was. It's pretty much a unanimous. Well, not really unanimous, but like 75% PG. PG is the worst thing to come out of the WWE. And for those people, if you can't see the difference that PG makes, then certainly then you. You don't have a perspective on the business. People are moving forward and such. And we're not really thinking about things as a whole. We're just sort of thinking about, you know, booking, or not really drastic changes, just booking changes. For me personally, one of the worst things to happen in the last 10 years is from 2007, Deuce and Domino. Those guys sucked. They should not have been signed.
From the other
in the first
side
place.
Of the tracks? Come on now.
No. Okay. If anyone remembers this, I cannot remember when it was on SmackDown. I know it was early 2007 or mid 2007. It was Paul London and Brian Kendrick versus Deuce and Domino. Brian Kendrick drop kicked. I think it was Domino. He drop kicked him in the face. And he wouldn't take a bump. He did not want to take a bump at all. And it annoyed the crap out of me. He's sitting there hanging onto the ropes, trying to make sure he's not going to fall down. I was thinking, if I got kicked like that, I'd be knocked the f*** out. I didn't know.
Deuce and Domino didn't have what it takes. I really like Cliff Compton, who is one of them. He's done a lot of good work recently in the indie scene. But yeah, back in 2006, 2007, they were not very good.
We also got one of our old TWG players, Angel of Desire, a.k.a. Mr. Inch, Martin. He says, turning Raw to 3 hours, which I cannot disagree, and as well as turning the women's division into a joke, hiring models and dancers instead of women that can work a decent match. With that being said as well, releasing Beth Phoenix and Karma along with what you say.
Whoa. So Beth Phoenix was done. She needed a couple years off. Karma quit. She asked for her release.
Yeah, but with that being said, Beth Phoenix working too hard and needing a couple of years off, and letting Karma be released, I guess, is that, you know...
Yeah,
just that. What else we got here? We've got Paul saying, letting Jeff Hardy go, and screwing up the tag division. The tag division really dropped off the face of the planet from about 2000 and... I'm going to say 2002, because really the last real solidifying team, apart from DX and Jericho in 2009, I reckon the last real good team that made the tag titles relevant was the Un-Americans.
The Un-Americans is good stuff. Lance Storm, Christian, and Test.
Yep. And William Regal filling in for the British contingent on that as well.
Right. Yeah, their WWE's tag division really took a hit in 2002, 2003, 2004. Those 3 years. It was just really... Recently, it hasn't been up to snuff, which is a shame, because there's a lot of guys who are just tag team wrestlers, like The Miz. He works a lot better with a tag partner.
Yeah, he does. As well as, I've actually got here as well. Razvan says they let Angle go. I can see why you'd think that, and he's gone to TNA, he's still doing good things, but Angle actually needed time off. Angle wanted to come back. Angle actually wanted to come back to WWE. It was what Vince said to Angle while Angle was away that made Angle not come back. So I don't... That's more on Vince's side rather than, you know, actually letting Angle go, because as well as Beth, Angle needed to go. Ryan Northcott, though, I don't agree that by releasing John Morrison... John Morrison was his own worst enemy, kind of like Zack Ryder.
Yeah, he tried too many different things in the 3 years that he was John Morrison. I mean, his title run was a joke, so...
A huge joke.
Huge joke. I don't know, there are a couple other ones up on the Facebook, like... you know, having two champions, you know, the Raw and SmackDown champions.
Yep.
You can talk about that till the cows come home.
I do also like the one directly above that from Alex, anything related to the Great Khali, which, if anyone remembers SummerSlam 2007, you cannot disagree.
Yeah. Khali shouldn't have... I'm not saying he shouldn't have a job, because I know that he's a draw in India, but man, the guy cannot move.
The guy's
better. His knees are worse than Rey Mysterio's.
I was gonna say his knees are worse than Hulk Hogan's back. I don't know, but I can understand everyone's frustration on the worst things the WWE has done in the last 10 years. What do you think is the worst one?
Getting rid of the cruiserweight and the hardcore belts. I think those rounded out a lot of time and a lot of filler for a lot of guys. Especially like the 24/7 rule with the hardcore title. I think that was a genius idea, and the cruiserweight belt should still be around for guys like Ambrose or Rollins, or, you know, now that they're getting more indie guys, you know, a lot of the indie guys aren't big, so you're getting people like Adrian Neville or Corey Graves, people like that, not world championship material as is, and you can't really just push them from being NXT guys directly to world title guys.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how they can get through that without having a secondary belt that isn't the US or IC belt. How about you, Nem? What do you think is the worst thing in the last 10 years?
I've got two things. It's sort of the similar thing to you, but my first one, in the last 10 years, if I can think about something. Okay, I've got three. One of them I'll just say, because it's just self-explanatory, bringing back ECW and watering it down, specifically December to Dismember. That is the worst thing, one of the worst things of the last 10 years, and if you just need any proof of it, watch the pay-per-view. There were two matches announced for that card, the Extreme Elimination Chamber and the Hardys versus Eminem. Every other match on that card was shit, especially for the fact of, in the Kelly Kelly and Mike Knox versus Kevin Thorne and Ariel match, the loudest person in the entire arena was Kelly Kelly, cheering for Mike Knox on the apron. So, that gives you an idea. Second thing, I will say Sheamus' first title run from 2009. Sheamus' first WWE title run. I hated it with a massive passion.
Are you saying that it wasn't a celebration? You weren't very happy?
Okay, I'll put it this way. He beat John Cena when Cena decided to jump off a turnbuckle and fall through a table. And then for the next 2.5 months, Sheamus didn't beat anyone. Sheamus's credibility as WWE champion was even less so than when The Miz became WWE champion. With that being said, The Miz actually beat people when he was champion. Sheamus didn't beat Randy Orton at the Royal Rumble. He lost by disqualification. Sheamus didn't beat pretty much anyone of notoriety. If it was a non-title match, he'd lose it. He then beat Geek. He beat Evan Bourne. He beat Zack Ryder. He just beat Geek. He didn't become a main event star until after he worked with Triple H. That wasn't the thing for me. And the third thing for me about the worst thing the WWE has done in the last 10 years is not fire the creative team. That's the worst thing, because they have fired talented individuals because they cannot write a decent enough story to put them in. Specifically of that, Luke Gallows and Serena from the SES.
Yeah, I was actually listening to the Shining Wizards podcast. They're a friend of TWG. They just actually had Serena Deeb on their show this week.
Oh, wow. That reminds me, I have to download that.
Yes. So, wizardspodcast.com. Go, go, go.
I'm going. What else we got here? We have got we'll have a couple of these ones. Let's go with TWG. Got one here from The Mauler on the forum. Okay, I'm gonna give you this option here, mate. We've got either your most hated serial pests in the chat room or in the game, and the favorite build of the past 6 years.
The build one?
Okay. Favorite build of the past 6 years. I cannot go past the Jared Irons bleed build. Can't go past it. Especially that
funny
one.
Funny story.
Go for it.
I helped Jared Irons with that build.
Oh, nice. There we go. That's one of my favorite builds, because it built Jared Irons up into the number one player in the game. Then he's gone, Antonio came in, then Antonio's gone, and now it's back to spectacular. Sorry, this is on server 1, by the way, if anyone knows who Jared Irons is.
Ranking only matters on server one because that's the oldest server.
Pretty much.
Then you got old farts like Scorpy and everything.
Well, that being said, calling Scorpy an old fart is actually a it'd be a compliment to him. But oh, that's weird. No, Max just died. Max's Skype just completely died. Oh, well. Anyway, I'll keep going. See if I can get him back in the next couple of minutes. Apart from the bleed build, I also like the submission DR build. That's just my thing of where you just you don't have much. You basically have no real punching, or you have almost no DDI. You have a lot of SDI and sub bonus, and then pile it on into damage reducer as well. So you can take everything and still hit them out. The only problem with that is your stamina and health points need to be through the roof as well, and I've never had enough experience to really figure that one out. But that's also another favorite of mine. The speed build is something that I've never really grasped on either with pin bonus and initiative, because you need pin opposition for that as well. But no speed ever wants to launch into... If I've learned something from Madam Snapshot, if you're a speed, you don't touch technique at all. So... if anyone needs any help on the speed build, just see Madam Snapshot of server one. Definitely be able to hook you up with it, and she'll just say speed all into frenzied urge and lightness until you unlock springboard and moonsault, and then make it a trademark. Build up a good finisher. Build up your strength until you get rage to about 20, and then go from there. Because she used to be really high ranking on server one until she ended up quitting from her own awesomeness, I believe. Anyway. However, she does make... I just got a thing of Madam Snapshot about the punching bag. The punching bag is something that I believe... Am I still leading the punching bag on server one? No, I think I'm second now. I'll just check. Yeah, I'm second. I was number one for pretty much ever since it came out. There's now very, very, very close between myself, Grace Yellow, however you want to say his name, TIA, Mr. Black, the Super Gimp, and good old Alon, 1977. It was only 8,000 damage between us, but we're all over 3.4 million damage in it. But I've finally been knocked off the perch. I don't think I'll ever get up to Grace Yellow's, but still. The punching bag is something very, very, very simple. All you have to do is just make sure you have high damage moves and beat the crap out of it. It's pretty much it. You have to have really high damage moves, and... nothing really much else matters to that unless you've just got, like, a lot of DDI. If you got a lot of DDI, grab weak moves and pile on the levels in them. Madam Snapshot also has something else as well of, I believe next week we can discuss, it's probably not going to make anyone else happy, but I reckon we can discuss our favorite Fed shows from the past, or the worst wrestling game bugs in the course of the history of the game, which is 6 years old, coming up later this year. The entrance bug is actually, as the Mauler says, is a good example of that. But if there's any other bugs as well, let us know about it. If we've got any Fed shows that you guys remember that you really want to take notice of, let us know as well. I have received a Facebook message from Mr. Zaleski. His computer got the blue screen of death. Yep, that would be a very, that would be a logical reason of why Skype blacked out. Oh, well, all that being said, I think it's just me signing off from this now. So, that being said, my name is Chris the Nemesis Salcol. On behalf of Mr. Zaleski, he is Kyrax Max Zaleski, founder of Wrestling with Subtitles and Server 3 Manager. I guess it's fallen off a cliff right now. But still, thank you very much for downloading the Wrestling Game Podcast. We'll be back with more of Raw Talk, more wrestling news, and more TWG news. If you have anything you want to discuss with us, head on to the Wrestling Game Facebook. Just leave us a message on there, or the best place now is under the Wrestling Game Forum, forum.thewrestlinggame.com. It's under the Everything Else, the Everything Else section of the forum. So you just go thewrestlinggame.com/forum/everything-else. And for everything dash else, I should say, and you'll be able to look up where we have the TWG podcast section of the forum. Leave us a topic, leave us a question, leave us a review, anything you like. Oh, well, hopefully I'll be speaking to you all soon, and we'll be back with more next week. See everyone later.